This message that I'm going to talk to you today, it's been about 7.5 years in the making for me. But it actually had happened just in one day about 7.5 years ago. And it's just taken me this long to really to understand what God was trying to speak to me about it. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ died to set us free." Amen. Being it's the Independence Day, I had to get one scripture in there that talked about freedom. So that's it. Amen. And I know Kenny served. I hadn't thought about it. I don't know if anybody else served in the military. But we just thank you for your service. Amen. And the sacrifices that the people, men and women who have served, have made for us a lot of the times in the same way that Christ in his service, he gave all for. So we just thank you for that. The story, like I said, it starts about 7.5 years ago is when my dad was in the hospital and when he passed away at his service, I spoke, and I would have never thought in 100 million years that I would ever do something like that. I just didn't think, God had, he had drugged me up here, and I'd spoke here in the church a few times, filling in for Pastor Mark, but something like that, he just didn't have enough ponies to drag me up there and to do that, and he proved me wrong again, and so I spoke at my dad's funeral, and it's funny, I don't know how long I spoke, 30 minutes or something, but I don't remember a whole lot of what I said because this story I'm about to tell you kept going through my mind, and I don't know why, it really is just a story. I was out deer hunting one day, and this has probably been 30 years ago, and I was out there, it was archery season, just fixing to be up, coming up on rifle season, and so I was out there, and I got down from my stand that morning and got back to my pickup, and there sat my dad and my brother, Dad wanted to know if I seen anything, and no, I didn't see nothing. He said, "Well, let's go over here to Oder's old place, and there's some rubs in there. Let's go check them out." So we drove over there, and this old homestead we went to, his old man that lived there, his name was Oder Allen, and he liked to make moonshine, and it was really a fun place, especially even when I was younger than this, when Dad would take me down there to go and explore and see what all you could find that he had stashed. And he had some stashes. And all throughout this property down there around his homestead, he had buried and made concrete pots in the ground. That's where he hid his moonshine. So when the authorities come, he'd hopefully they couldn't find it. And you'd find him down through there and never did find any moonshine. I always told Dad, I said, "You probably come down here a long time ago and found it, didn't you?" And told me it was just empty. But anyway, it was a real neat place just down in a hole. I mean, it's out here in Roger Mills County, and it's not a place you just drive up to and just accidentally stumble upon it. I mean, you got to know it's there. But anyway, so we drive down there, and it's on a Sunday morning. I know I wasn't in church. It was before those days, But drove down there and turned the radio on as Dallas Cowboys were playing football. Turned it on really loud so we could hear it because we walked off to where this deer rub was at. And those of you that's hunting, No, you're not supposed to go up there and stand around a deer rub. But we go up there and we're just standing around, me and my dad and my brother, and just looking at it. Just killing some time. We walked back to the pickup, and we're standing there. I don't know. We just visiting, and probably about 30 minutes passed by, and look up. Well, here comes this buck, a little six-point buck, and he walks up there to the rub, sniffs around. You know, he could smell us. And he kind of does his little thing there, and we watch him, and he starts walking towards us. And he gets probably about 50 yards from us, somewhere around there. And he turns, and he starts going around the house. And Dad says, well, grab your bow. He says, if he's that dumb, he needs to go. So I grab my bow and get out there, and I'm waiting for him to come around the house. And my dad, he's back there. He's doing the old deer grunt call. And my brother, he's doing the same thing, you know, and we're making all kinds of noise. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can shoot this deer. Because I had, at that time, I had what was called a pendulum sight that is really designed to shoot out of a tree stand where you're shooting down. It would, you get it set, and it would swing, and wherever height you know, is supposed to be on. But I never shot it from the ground. So I'm sitting there, and Dad, he's back there behind me. He said, well, you better get drawed, because when he steps out, he's going to bolt, and you're going to have to shoot fast. So I drawed it back, and I'm sitting there holding it. And he never comes out. And of course, Daddy's back there. He's still grunting and raising all kinds of cane and telling me, be ready. And what seemed like 10 minutes of sitting there holding this bow full draw, you know, I probably wasn't that long, but he finally steps out, and he's probably 20 yards from me, and he stops, and he looks at me, and he looks at Dad and Imani, you know, and he sees us there. Well, he doesn't bolt or anything. He just keeps on walking, and Dad's like, you better shoot him. And I'm still thinking, I don't know where I need to put that, you know, to get it on him. And finally he walks a little bit farther, and Dad says, if you don't shoot him, I'm going to. Well, I knew what that meant. You know, I knew he was back there, leaned over the bed of the pickup with his .30-06, and there was going to be a crack that come right by my head, you know, here in a minute. So I let go and just put it right on him, and it hit him. And he takes off running, and he runs away from us. And he runs up this hill. I don't know how far it is, probably 75 to 100 yards away from us. And he gets to the top of the hill, and he jumps straight up. And when he lands, he's facing us. And he runs right back down to us and collapses 10 foot from a pickup. And I'm thinking, wow. And then my dad said, well, I'm sure glad you shot him, because I was fixing to. So that's how you hunt. That's how you do it. Get him to run down here. And next time, he said, maybe you can get him to load up. Then we won't have to throw him in there. I'm like, okay. But see, that's the story. The whole time I'm up there speaking at my dad's funeral, that's the story it's going through my head. And I'm like, you know, am I supposed to, this is at my dad's funeral. Am I supposed to share that? What's the purpose of that story? It was a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Mark done a message. He was doing a message on the love of God, and he spoke of this scripture, and it was a scripture that the day my dad died, it was a scripture I read to him that morning. And it's, but me and Mark had talked about it, not this scripture, but just that morning that he gave this message, and he used this scripture. You know, we just talked about the things that's going on in the world, and I had read a article that week about the just love grown cold. You know, in the Bible, some of the scriptures, it says love waxed cold. You know, and you just you look around and everything that's going on in the world, you know, it's right out there in front of you that love has really gone cold in this world. But anyway, and he didn't say nothing about this scripture that he was going to be using. It wasn't his main scripture. He just used it. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. And it starts in verse 14. And it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So that was it. That was a scripture I read to my dad that morning. And one thing I got really good at when he was in the hospital during that time was reading scripture to him. There was one time he was in ICU, and it was about, I don't know, it was around midnight probably, and I was in there with him, and we had been visiting, and after a while he got quiet, and I thought, well, he'd went to sleep. So I went over and got in the chair, and I was going to try to get a few hours of sleep, and after about 15 minutes, he hollered at me, and he said, "Hey, I want you to read me some Psalms." I said, "Okay." I said, "Is there any particular one?" And he said, "I want you to start in Psalms 1 and start reading. And when you get to the end, or I will tell you when you're done." I thought, "Okay." So I started reading in Psalms 1 and went through 7 or 8 verses, you know, and I kept checking to see, well, he's probably asleep and I could quit. And so I'd get quiet, and he'd say, "Keep going." So I'd pick up, and I kept going. And 67 chapters later, he told me, he said, that's enough for right now. And I think the only reason he stopped me was because it was time for the nurses to change. So they were all coming in and doing their thing. And so he said, "You can quit for now." He said, "Why don't you go get something to drink?" And I was like, "Oh, if I had that, I'll kind of dry." But anyway, it was just it's stuff like that, you know, that when Mark read that scripture, kept coming back to me. And just God was just showing me some stuff. And we're going to get to it here in a minute. But just stuff like that happened. There was another time, and we were still in the hospital. This was probably 3 or 4 days before he went home to be with the Lord. And we was sitting there, and he was propped up in his bed, and the sun was just shining. You could see outside, and I was sitting over on the windowsill, and he looked at me, and then he looked outside, and he pointed, and he said, "What's going on out there?" And I looked, and I said, "Nothing." "Yeah," he said, "there's something. There's a lot of people down there." So I got up and looked, and I was, "Dad, there ain't nobody out there." "Yeah, there is." He said, "They're fixing to sell something. There's an auction going on." And I said, "Really?" He said, "I want to buy it." I said, "Well, what are they selling?" He said, "I think they're selling some land." So we go, if you've been to an auction before, you know how they, so we go through this. And still to this day, I don't know if he was just the medicine, you know, he was seeing something, or if he was jacking with me. I wouldn't put it past him that he wasn't jacking with me. But it was just, you know, It was just the stuff like that that really come flooding back to me here a couple of weeks ago, you know. And when I read this scripture to my dad that day, you know, I was a spiritual giant because I had spoke at church one time or something. I assumed that when I read this scripture that, you know, I was reading it to my dad, for my dad, because God wanted him to hear it. You know, God wanted to, he wanted to relay the message to Rex Welty, you know, that he would grant him strength in his spirit in the inner man, and that Christ would dwell in his heart through faith, and that since he was rooted and grounded in love, he would be able to comprehend the width and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. But during that service here a couple weeks ago when Mark spoke that to me, the Holy Spirit, I'm sure he's probably spoke this to me 1,000 times these 7.5 years, but he spoke to me and said, that wasn't for your dad, that was for you. I wanted you to know that. And I was like, what? What are you talking about, Willis? He said it was for me. And I think this is some of the things that's going on right now in the world, but God did not want me or my family or anybody else when you go through something like that. He doesn't want that to cause your love to wax cold. Amen. It's in Matthew 24 through verse 9 through 14 where Jesus talks about the love that's grown cold. And it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. When I was kind of prepared, I already knew what I really wanted to say. I was just trying to write it down, and God brought me to this point, and I couldn't understand what this, you know, I understood the growing cold, but what was the rest of it? But God was just saying, you know, this could be us talking about God when we go through trials and tribulations. You know, why is God delivering me up to tribulation? You know, why is God trying to kill me? Why does God hate me? God must hate me to put me through all this. Amen. Anybody ever felt that? But God is showing that our love is not to grow cold. And that's what Ephesians chapter 3 that we read, that's what it's all about. He wants us to know the depth of his love. You know, Jesus, when he spoke this here in Matthew, he was talking to his disciples. You know, they had come to ask him for a sign of the times. You know, so he proceeded to tell them to take heed that no one deceives you. There will be wars and rumors of war. But be not troubled, the end is not yet. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. These are the beginnings. So God was saying is, don't let your love grow cold during these times. Not during the end of the time or any other trial or tribulation when it comes on. The enemy, we all know, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can get our love to wax cold, he's got a pretty good head start on killing us and stealing everything God wants for us and destroying it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 18, it says, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You know what? I figured out that what God finally got through to me was the reason that he allowed me, you know, when I spoke at my dad's funeral, that story to go through my head was because he loved me. You know, even in the hardest of times, when God pours his love out upon us, he will do it in an unusual way to show it. What many times, you know, we try to at funerals, you know, celebrate the life, but still are very somber occasions, even at the best of them. But just being able to remember that story the whole time I was speaking, I look back on it, and I don't know if I could have got through it if I hadn't been thinking of that. And just the fun times that I had with my dad. But right here breaks down the whole message of what God was trying to get through to me. And it was in that scripture that passage that we just read there, and as Pastor Mark says, this is my sermon in a sentence. And we're going to be done really early, so everybody give the Lord a hand clap. But my sermon is in four sentences, but they're short. Width. God's love is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience. Length. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. Height. God's love is high. It rises to the heights of our celebration. Depth. His love is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and even death. I believe that's why I could remember that story, or to be thinking about that story while I was speaking about something totally different that day. It was just because of the width, the length, the height, and depth of the love of Christ that he has for me and for everybody here. Amen. Now, I read there at first, I told you, you know, Galatians 5:1, you know, is for freedom that Christ died to set us free. That's why we celebrate the July the 4th weekend, you know, it's our independence, our freedom. This is the love of Christ. What God is trying to been telling me is, don't let my love wax cold. I don't know that my love ever waxed cold for God during that time, but I don't know that it was ever burning hot. You know, when you go into Revelation, when Jesus is speaking of the churches, there's one church there he speaks of, you know, he says, you're neither hot nor cold. You're kind of in the middle. He said, I would rather you to be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. And I think I was kind of riding in that boat of lukewarmness. But this is the width, the length, the height, and depth of the love of Christ. It is all summed up in one chapter or one verse in the Bible. And it is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. That is the love of God, and that's the love of God that we've got to want to walk in. We've got to love like God loves us. If we will do that, then we will never have to worry about waxing cold. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I told you this was going to be short. It made it shorter when Mark only had 3 songs this morning. But it's just a short, simple message. And I'm thinking, Lord, as short as this is, why did it take me 7.5 years to figure it out? I think it's just because I was just kind of right there in the middle. You know, I still loved God, but I wasn't loving like He was. I was just kind of just walking along. And God saying it's time to step up. Love like I love. Amen. If this world ever needed the love of Christ, it's right now. You can see it. It's really sad. You see it in our politics and in the media. You know, the, Jesus talked about the do not be deceived. You know, at times I think they're working really hard just to try to deceive us. You know, all over the world, Christians everywhere are under attack. No other place as bad as what those that are in the Middle East are facing. And you read stories about these people, you know, and when we think of the Middle East, we really think of back in the Stone Age, really, you know. They don't have the knowledge and stuff that we have, but they have a greater knowledge of the love of God, I think, than we've ever been able to comprehend here in America, just because we've had life pretty easy. When you look at the big picture compared to places around the world, and you read articles and stuff about what these people go through and how they are threatened and then killed if they do not denounce Christ. But they're willing, because their love is not wax cold, they're willing to take the ultimate sacrifice and die for Christ. And it's just really powerful. And I just pray that if that ever come to me, that I would be able to do the same thing. Amen. I don't know. It's easy to say, yes, I will. But I've never been in that situation to have to do that. You know. So don't let your wax grow cold. Amen? Amen. If you would bow your head with me. There's one more thing before we leave here today that I want to ask you, that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's in Romans 10:9 that Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. All you have to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. If you did that for the first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. Let us know. Jesus tells us to share our faith. Matthew 10:32. Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you this day. And just thank you, Lord, just for allowing me to share what you just have been placing in my heart over these last few weeks. To understand the width and length and height and depth of your love for us. And I just thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us in our place. That is a love, Lord, that I'm striving to fully comprehend and understand. That I can walk in that kind of love the love that you showed us through your son, Jesus. Father, I just want to honor you today and praise you and thank you, Lord, just for loving us. It's just, it's all about your love. And I just thank you for that today, Lord. And I thank you for everybody here today. And I want to lift them up to you, Father, and just pray that they receive the fullness of your love. Lord, that they would understand the height and width and depth and length of your love. That you would bless them, Lord. And that their eyes and ears be open to receive and see those blessings in however, Lord, that you present them. Bless them, Father. I ask you to encamp your angels around them today. Watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One more thing here before we go. Got to have these to read this. The thing about printing your own notes, you can get the font big enough that you can see it. Get to the right one here. It's just what Mark does at the end of every service. It's the blessing. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your 4th of July. Pray for rain. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for being here today.